Hi, this is Amherst Eclectic, back for another podcast, and today I'm going to talk about an actual article that I read that was kind of a unique perspective on the other woman, other man situation. Say you're married, or you're in a committed relationship, and your husband or your wife has an affair. Now, I have to admit that this article, it's a psychology article that focused more on the woman's side of it, but I think it goes both ways. The more equal we're becoming and the more that we're all working and, you know, all trying to do 50-50 in families, some people, not everyone, but I think we're becoming more equal. So I think this applies to both male and female. But again, this is from the female standpoint, about cheaters who cheat on you, and then they go off with the other person. And what I've always said about that is, listen, they did it to you, with that person that they're going off with, that they cheated with, and now they're going off with them, they're going to marry them or be in a relationship with them. Just wait. You're next. He's going to do it to you, or she's going to do it to you. Whoever the cheater was, because that's who they are. They're a cheater. They're somebody who cheats. They're an awful person who cheats on people, who will tell people that they aren't having relationships, but they are. And what I've always said is, you know, when you get married, you usually stop dating. You don't keep dating. Because a marriage is a commitment. When you make a legal commitment to someone, where everything's 50-50, you share a name, you share everything, that's a big step. You know, if you don't want to go there, then don't do it. Don't get married and then continue to date. No. If you want to be a single, free, loving person, stay single. Tell people you're never going to get married. Tell people you're not interested in being married, that you are interested in screwing around with a bunch of people. Tell people you want to be a swinger. I mean, just be honest. Don't get married and then go off with someone else. If your full intention going into a committed relationship is not to be in that committed relationship, back out. Just be honest. Make things easier on everybody else. But here we have the perspective is the other woman's role in your breakup. That's what this article is titled and it's about. And why you should probably stop calling the other woman a skank. That's a little smaller title. And, you know, just from my perspective, if someone cheats on you, you shouldn't be mad at the person they cheated with. You should be mad at them. Because they're the ones that was in the relationship with you. And if they cheat on you, then they're the problem. It doesn't even matter who they cheated with. It doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter. That other person doesn't matter. They had an intention of wanting to back out of the relationship and cheat. So that's the person you should be focusing on. The husband who cheated on you, or the wife who cheated on you. You can't blame anybody else in that situation because they had a chance to say no to the person who was maybe hitting on them, wanting them to cheat with them, whatever. They had a chance to say no, and they didn't. So you need to blame your partner, husband, wife, whatever, for what they did and hold them accountable. Because it really doesn't matter how many people under the sun they cheated with, they are the problem in your relationship, they're the problem. And if you think people are controlled that easily into cheating, you're wrong. Someone only cheats because they want to. They're not pushed into it. They're not lured into it. They cheat because they've decided to make a decision to cheat. The end. So here goes the article. Words have power, and when you're feeling powerless, you'll grasp at anything that might give you a spark, even for a moment. So if your partner leaves you for another, you'll feel better if you call her, him names like homewrecker, lowlife, or tramp, skank, slut, you know. Everybody knows what they hear from their friends when they're complaining about their cheating spouses. A woman whose marriage ended suddenly when her husband left her for another woman may struggle desperately with the fact and the role that the other woman played in the debacle. Unlike the variety of sexual encounters that some men have with other women, online and chat rooms, one-night stands on business trips, strip clubs, and paid sex, to name a few, most men who leave committed marriages are typically having an affair in the classical sense, one that involves secrecy and sex, but also emotional involvement. And I agree with that. I think sex is sort of the secondary thing. If they're cheating with somebody and hiding it from you, there's an emotional attachment there they're trying to hide from you, because they know that the worst thing you could do isn't even the sex. It's the, I don't love you anymore. The emotional attachment is gone between you and them. So I am now in love with this person. I'm not in love or in lust, whatever they think they're in, right? But it's the emotional attachment. So that's why even when there's no sex, even when there's no tryst, sexual tryst, when there's an emotional attachment between two people and they're just holding off, trying not to have sex with each other, trying not to cheat on their spouses, there's already a problem. I mean, there's already a problem that it's so hard for them to not do it. Better go talk to your spouse if that's how you're feeling, because you're not getting something in that relationship that you're getting from this person that you're thinking about cheating with, right? So you need to explore that in yourself and say, well, what am I not getting in my current relationship now? Because every relationship that is a long-term relationship, you have to work at it. You have to work at it. It's not easy. Everybody wants their relationships to be easy breezy. It's not easy. Especially in this day and age when everybody's, you know, cheating on everybody else, and there's Tinder and there's internet and there's porn everywhere, etc., etc. It's really hard work. It's hard work to not cheat with somebody. It's hard work to not get online and be emotionally, you know, screwing around with other people. It's hard work to not, you know, be tempted by porn. It's all hard work. I mean, if you knew what was behind porn, you would never look at porn again. It's a horrible industry that, you know, promotes violence and sex towards women that's not, you know, not even women, young boys too. So that's why you should never watch porn. But anyway, plus it's addictive. So let's continue with the article. Wives left behind may deal with this intruder in a variety of ways. Some may see her as a temptress preying on vulnerable man who would never have stayed, or who would never have strayed, excuse me, were it not for being lured into it. She's not seen as a normal person with her own struggles, and because of the fact that her existence has caused such a severe harm, she's granted tremendous power. She takes on an almost supernatural form in the rejected partner's mind, like a character from a fairy tale. Who the other woman actually is varies from case to case, but typically she's someone a man met at work, or knew from high school, or his personal trainer, etc. Someone you don't actually know in an atypical and truly awful case. She's a friend, a neighbor, or a child's babysitter, or a coach. During the months just after a marriage ends, when you're out of your mind, you may become obsessed with this woman. She's a huge threat. Why did he choose her over me? You desperately need to understand her allure. You hate her and blame her and probably want to hurt her somehow. If she's married, you may be tempted to contact her spouse to screw up her life like she's, you know, done to yours. Consider the quote from an abandoned wife. This was a pretty good quote. She said, I used to spend countless hours wondering how the OW, other woman, knowing we had a large loving family, could help push the relationship. I realize now that she didn't think anything. They were so caught up in each other that it justified their behavior. And who knows what he told her? He could have told her anything. She probably thinks she's rescuing him. End quote. So, good point. You know, you don't know. You don't know. You know, the one thing I learned in relationships ending and the relationships I've had through my life is you never really know anyone. You never really know anyone. And you think you know your spouse, you think you know your significant other, but you don't really know them. You know, everyone's a pretty complex human being. And so when they make a decision like that to cheat or to leave or whatever, it comes as a shock that they just couldn't talk to you about it, which to me is kind of immature. If somebody just has an affair or just leaves and hasn't given you a huge heads up, like, we need to go to counseling, we need help, here's what's wrong. You know, that's what you're supposed to do in a long-term relationship or a marriage. You're supposed to try to stay together and you communicate how you feel to one another. And when things are going wrong, you talk about it. You don't just have an affair and leave or just leave, right? You have to communicate. No one can read your mind ever. That's on both sides, for women and men, who they all seem to think that their spouse or their significant other can read their mind. And no, you have to open your mouth and say the words and talk about it. Nobody can read your mind. You have to communicate. And the people that I've seen that have lasted, you know, they've communicated. Sometimes it might not be pretty the way they communicate. They're really letting each other have it verbally, but they're being honest at least and open, and they're letting the other person know how they feel. They may be angry at the point when they're saying something, but at least it's coming up, and at least the other person now knows, and they're not going to be blindsided when they have an affair and the person says, well, this was the problem. And that's why I had the affair, or this, you know, I didn't feel like we were close anymore, whatever. Well, then it was your fault. I mean, the one thing that I did in all my relationships is I was very honest with people. And expected them to be as honest with me and feel like they could be open. And I would often say, you know, you need to feel like you can talk to me, because if you don't feel like you can talk to me anymore, then this is over. This is over. If we don't have that sort of closeness, I mean, when you're together with someone, they're supposed to be your best friend. They're supposed to be your lover. They're supposed to be the one person in the world that you can count on. Otherwise, why be in the relationship, right? Okay. Communication. I mean, I know it sounds old and cliche, but it's true. Okay. In the early days, after learning about the affair, a wife will want to pump her husband for details, needing to know how it happened, where and when they met, and how often they saw each other, and then to learn more. Does he love her? What did they do sexually? What are his plans with her? Will she replace you in his life? But it's a double-edged sword, because each piece of information pierces the heart and then gets lodged in the brain. The more you know, the worse you feel. Knowing the details makes one feel even more betrayed. True, true, true. I mean, for me, if I knew somebody cheated on me, I wouldn't need to know any of that. I'd be gone. I mean, to be totally honest, the only thing I need to know is, hey, you cheated on me. Bye. You know, you didn't talk to me. You didn't come to me and tell me something was wrong. There is more wrong here than you just having that affair. This is over. You know, and that's, I have said to people, you know, if you're not talking to me or you're feeling things and you're not telling me, this is over. We're not close anymore. And if you want to work on it, fine. If you want to get back to where we were, good. But otherwise, it's over. And I actually had an ex after I, you know, ended it, and he was you know, off with somebody else, when I come back, and I was like, no, it's too late. There's too much between us now. You're with somebody right now, and you're trying to get back with me. That means you're cheating on her to try and get me back. No. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot you have to really think about what this person is doing, what your significant other is doing, how they are acting, what they are doing and aren't doing to maintain the relationship with you. Okay. In a desperate attempt to unearth what was going on, some wives actually meet with the other woman. The wives want to hear from her what the truth was or need to tell her how the man has been lying to her. But most women who have reached out have regretted it. As one told me, she just gave me boatloads more crap to be distressed about, which I would imagine that would be the case. You know, do you really want to know all the details? Yeah, you know, sometimes it's better to be blind, dumb, and walk away. You know, but on the other hand, you know, maybe it'll help you process. I don't know. I guess it depends on the person. I personally wouldn't care anything about the other woman. The only person that I would care about is the person I'm with and what they did and why. You probably can't help yourself and refer to her as a whore or a skank, even if you don't typically talk like that. It helps a tiny bit to lessen the pain. One shocking moment I experienced in early days after my husband left was when I referred to his girlfriend as a whore. He said, "Don't talk about her like that." He was protecting her. That was rough. But I realized the hard way that he was more allied with her than he was with me. I said something about an ex-girlfriend to a guy one time, and he defended the ex-girlfriend. And I said, oh, if you're defending your ex-girlfriend, then this isn't going to work. You know? And it wasn't anything really cruel. I just said something. I can't even remember what it was. That's just how nothing it was that I said. And he said, no, you don't understand. When you insult my ex-girlfriend, you're insulting me. Because I chose to be with her for a long period of time. And when you say bad things about her or you say something bad about her, then you're saying that I made a bad choice in that person. Now, you know, I said, well, it did end. She did break up with you. So, you know, maybe you did make a bad choice, but okay. But I understood a little bit more about men at that moment. When you're insulting people that they've been with or that they're with at the time, you're really insulting them and their choice in that person. And that's how men see that. You're insulting them. They take it personally that you're saying that their choice in somebody was a bad choice, right? Especially when you're calling them a whore or slut. Oh, so you go out with a whore or slut. That's basically what you're saying to your ex if you're saying that. Okay. So if it helps a little bit, what's wrong with using strong language about the other woman when talking with friends? Two things are wrong with that. One, it reveals the tremendous power she has over you, so much so that you have to try to destroy her with words because you're helpless to hurt her otherwise. And two, it brings you down a few notches and keeps you feeling badly. You feel better about yourself if you act above it until you actually are. So, what advice does this psychologist have? Stop using dirty words to refer to the other woman or man. It feels good for the moment, but things you do down, but brings you down in some psychic way, if only to yourself. Stop asking about the details of the affair. He or she just may be tempted to tell you. You may not want to know. Recognize that most husbands who are in long-term affairs have told the other woman that the marriage is virtually over and that my wife knows it, and he lies to you and then he lies to her. Another great point. He's not just lying to you, he's lying to her. And like I said, if he did it to you, he's gonna do it to her, or vice versa if a woman does the same thing, right? You know, leopards rarely change their spots. If they're a cheater, they're always gonna be a cheater. So don't get involved with a cheater if you don't want to be with a cheater. Ladies who are the other woman or the other man. Okay, exercise discipline. As soon as you can manage it, stop checking her Facebook page, stop asking everyone about her, stop stalking her. It makes you look bad and feel worse. And don't try to meet with the other woman. Nothing good that will come of it. There's nothing good that will come of that. Turn down the volume on her importance in your life. Unless she was a friend, that is really about, it's really about you and him. And then lastly, be kind to yourself. So that's the thing I want to talk about. I've had girlfriends who have come behind me and gone behind my back and said awful things to guys I was dating to try and break me up. And I think I've related the story in another podcast that, you know, if that guy remember, or if that guy believes the things that are being said to him behind my back, and he comes to me and says, this has been said, and I'm having questions about you. And I just look at him and say, you know what? I'm glad you came to me and told me this. Because if you can believe what people are telling you behind my back, they're not standing in front of me and relating it to you. They're not honestly going about this in the right way to communicate to you. And then they're trying to get a date with you, or they're trying to hit on you, or they're trying to sleep with you. Then you're not the person for me. Because if you're going to allow those kind of people to get into our relationship at the beginning, when we're just dating, and before we're ever married or anything, then this isn't going to work. So I'm glad you told me, because this is over. If you're going to believe what other people say about me all the time, that happens all the time. People are going to come behind my back all the time and say stuff to you that they don't like about me or whatever. You know, I mean, it's probably been done to me a lot and I don't even know it. And if you're going to sit there and let them say it, and then you're going to balance it out and try to think about it and think, well, maybe it's true, then you're not the person for me. Because if you don't know me yourself, and you've obviously you've taken the choice to date me, so you should know me a little bit better than that and not be listening to what other people say. You should make your own decisions about who I am and what I am and what I'm doing. And, you know, if people could say anything, and if you're going to do that and you're going to let people say whatever they can to try and break us up, then they're going to do it. They're going to be successful at that. And I actually had this guy I was dating who three or four women were going behind my back trying to get with him. And I guess that should be a high compliment, because he was, you know, he's a good looking guy. He was a nice guy. But the other thing that I've noticed is when I start dating someone, people take that as a cue, because I'm very picky about who I date, and I won't date somebody unless they're like a really high quality person. So people take that as a cue, women take that as a cue of, oh, he must be a really great guy because she's dating him. I'm not kidding you. I have had people tell me that. That if, you know, that's why people have told me, don't bring anybody you date around in the first 3 to 4 months. Just date them alone. Don't bring them around your family. Don't bring them around your friends. Nothing. You have those first 3 to 4 months alone dating them. And don't bring them around anybody. And find out, without everybody else's interference, everybody's static in your brain and your life and all the words that they could say and whatever, or their interference in your relationship, find out if you two are going to even like each other to be able to go to the next step and be able to, you know, dodge the interference when those people try that. Because usually by the 3rd or 4th month of dating, if you're dating consistently and you're calling each other every day, that sort of thing, there's not many people that are going to be able to break through that wall once you decide, hey, I really like this person. But what happened to me with, you know, a few guys is I did introduce them right away to people. So then I think those women thought that since we were just starting to date, that it was okay to try and take them away from me and go behind my back. And I mean, I've literally had women go behind my back and sleep with guys that I was dating. Well, now how am I going to compete with that? You know, I'm not somebody that jumps into bed with somebody right away. How am I going to compete with somebody who's just going to throw themselves at a guy? Well, I guess that one's, I guess you're going to go over there because you're going to get sex from her before you get it from me. If that's the kind of guy they are, if they, you know, seriously consider being with somebody because they're presenting sex to them right away, fine, leave. You're not my kind of guy, right? If that's, you know, I don't even know you. Why would I, you know, why would I jump into bed with you right away? I don't even know you. I want to get to know you a little bit better before we take those steps. Now, it's different if you want to go have a one-night stand. Okay, if you're in that mindset, great. Go have a one-night stand. You know, I'm not saying anything against that. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. I've had one-night stands. You know, it's happened. I didn't like it. They, you know, I didn't have a really great experience with the ones that I've had. I would imagine that most people don't have great experiences because you don't know the person. You're not emotionally attached in any way, shape, or form. And so that person is just using you for sex. And most guys, if that's the case with guys, they're not going to care whether you have an orgasm. They're not going to care what happens to you. So I've had friends do this. I've had friends, you know, try go behind my back and take these guys. And for me, that's a big red flag if the guy caves and goes off with somebody else. Oh, good, bye. You know, and I always tell the girlfriend, I'm probably never going to speak to you again, but thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for showing me who he was and who you were. Because now you're out of my life and I don't have to deal with you anymore. So that's how I look at people cheating. Like, even if you're in a long-term relationship with somebody and they're off hanging out with another person, not even having sex, but they're having this emotional attachment, that's a big red flag to you that this person is a cheater, or this person is somebody who's not willing to work on a relationship or whatever. So I'm never mad at the significant other. Not the significant other. I'm never mad at the other person, the other man or the other woman, the person they're cheating with emotionally or sexually. I'm never mad at that person. They're just a factor of what has happened. I am disappointed and mad at the person who was supposed to be with me because they didn't tell me what they needed. They just went off and cheated with somebody else. So this kind of a subject matter for me is, you know, don't villainize another woman. You know, that woman is getting victimized as much as you are because, like they said in the article, he's lying to her, or, you know, a woman who cheats is doing the same thing. He or she is lying to the person that they're cheating with. And they're lying to the person they're supposed to be in a committed relationship with. So they're lying to two different people because there's no way you can straddle a fence like that. There's no way that you can be with one person, be with another person, and convince both of them that you care. Unless you're lying. Unless you're lying big time. So, yeah. So, really, if someone cheats with your significant other, they're doing you a favor. They're showing you who this person is. And there are a lot of relationships that they come back together after a cheating incident and they make it. They work it out and they stay together because usually cheating is a symptom of a problem. And if you're sure that he's never going to do it again or she's never going to do it again, see, that would be my problem. I don't think I could ever trust anybody again after they cheated on me. So it would be just fine with me if they just left. That's over. Because I don't think I could ever trust anybody again if they did that to me. And it happens a lot, right? Like I said, it's easier nowadays than it used to be. But just an interesting point of view that this psychologist had. You know, you're giving that person a lot of power when you direct that hate towards them. when they're really just a significant other that helped you get out of the relationship with a cheater. Till next time.